Good evening, everyone. Glad you're able to join us this evening, especially after that sermon this morning. It feels even better to be outside in God's creation, right? We'll start with All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 162 in the book. We will sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and praise him Lord of all.
On Jordan's stormy banks. We'll sing the first and the last verse, and following this song we'll have our prayer.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. Filled with delight, my raptured soul would here no longer stay. Though Jordan's waves around me roll, fearless I'd launch away. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore.
All right, let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this, another beautiful Lord's Day, that we've had to come out here and study your word this morning together as a family, and we're so thankful for this time this evening that you've given us out here, especially being outside, and hopefully our neighbors are hearing our worship to you tonight, and we hope that much good comes from it. We're so thankful for this congregation and just our family here and everything that we do for one another. The encouragement, the uplifting, and we're just so thankful for the gift of family. We're so thankful for all the gifts you bless us with all the time, the gift of repentance, forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, your love that you provide to us in so many ways, and we're just so thankful for it. But most of all, we're so thankful for your son, Jesus, and his willingness to come down here and to suffer, to die, and to go to that cruel cross for our sins so that we can stand as justified and as pure in your sight. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, and when we take advantage of that gift, forgive us. Heavenly Father, a special blessing tonight for Tim as he brings us our lesson, and help him to have a good remembrance of what he's prepared, and help all of us as listeners to be ready and open to applying it to our lives, and not just keeping it to ourselves, but sharing it with our neighbors. Heavenly Father, help us to love as we're supposed to love. Be with all those who are suffering, either spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or physically, and be with all those who are ministering to their needs. Be with everyone who is not with us tonight. Bless them, and just bring us all back at the next appointed time. Help us all to be encouraged by the Bible studies that are going on, and let's hope that participation picks up, and we pray for that in Christ's name. Amen.
For the lesson this evening, we'll sing "Teach Me, Lord, to Wait," number 764 in the book, if you have a book. Let's stand as we sing.
Teach me, Lord, to wait right down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Let me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed, my eyes on thee. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Please be seated.
There will be Bible story time for any kids that want to do that. It'll be up to the right in the building. The scripture reading this evening is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Is story time downstairs or upstairs? Upstairs. Okay. All right. Good evening. We are so glad to see you here. It's been a while since we've been able to do this with the rains popping in and out. And if we'd gone by what Marshall Danby told Jim Carden a while ago, it was pouring rain up on Rome Mountain. But thankfully, we don't live up on Rome Mountain right now. Other times, maybe, but we're glad to be outside and to enjoy God's creation. And if you're not in a shade, maybe you better be looking for one if the sun comes back out. But it is good to be back with you again. I want to give a shout out to the Amato, the Morales family that are over here. They're sitting way over there under the tree. We know Amato and Erlinda and some of the children, and they're the core group of the Hispanic group that is now using our building on Thursday nights. And beginning next Sunday evening, they're going to be worshiping in the old auditorium the same time that we're going to be doing our worship in the new auditorium. So if you haven't yet met the Morales family, be sure to do so. They've already been to worship this morning in Knoxville. That's the dedication they've been showing. They've been doing that for some time. And now we're going to make it possible for an outreach to be established here in Johnson City. And we're told that there's a lot of potential for that. So be sure to say hello to the Morales family, or hola, and let them know that we're happy they're here. Hope you got your Bible. Go ahead and get it out. And in a little bit, we'll look again at Matthew 13 and talk about this idea of parables for sinners. Treasured is the idea this evening. I'll begin by telling you about an incident that happened in 2009. And this happened in a place called Staffordshire, England. A fellow by the name of Terry Herbert, an unemployed casket maker, I'm told, had a metal detector. And so he went out and started searching for buried objects. And his detector started really giving off a signal. I mean, really, big time. Well, by the time all of the digging was done, a total of 4,600 gold and silver items had been unearthed in that place. They were from the 6th century A.D. The gold alone weighed about 11 pounds, and the historical value of all of that, I'm told, was about $4 million. About $4 million. And I expect now sales of metal detectors will go up in the next couple of days. Good luck. Well, it's not uncommon to hear stories like that, is it? We have often heard about people that buy an old house, and as they start tearing into walls to remodel, they'll find a stash of old baseball cards or something like that. Or maybe it's an old suit that someone buys at a thrift shop, and when they try on the suit, there's something in the pocket, and it turns out to be a wad of bills, and there's a good bit of money found in that suit. And those kind of stories happen now and then. Well, we're wondering, why hasn't it happened to me? I've never had something like that happen to me. I've found pop-top things in the ground where I've dug, and maybe a nickel or something like that, but nothing like a treasure. Well, in this lesson tonight, Jesus will tell us there is treasure that can be found by anyone who wants to look for it if you're willing to pay the price, and you can keep it. In the case of Terry Herbert, I don't know how much he got to keep. Not a lot of it. But you can keep all of what Jesus is talking about. So let's look again at Matthew 13. We're going to talk about the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. Now, both of these are brief, and they're somewhat identical. I mean, the details are a little different. It's only found in Matthew. You won't find these in any of the other Gospels. But one difference is observed between the two. One of the persons is just accidental. I mean, they weren't looking for it, and they happen upon it, and they say, oh my goodness, what a great deal this is. The other one has actually been looking for something like this, and now they've found it. So let's go again to Matthew chapter 13, and let's first of all read verse 44, the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, when you read that, you may be tempted to think, well, that's a little unethical, isn't it? I mean, this guy finds a treasure, it's been hidden, he covers it back up, he doesn't want anybody else to see it, and then he goes and buys the field and then the treasure is his. Let me give you a little background that I found in Michael J. Wilkins' comments on this passage. He said it was not uncommon for people to hide valuables when a marauding army was approaching. If the homeowner did not survive the invasion, the treasure would be forgotten and unclaimed. The land could change hands several times without anyone being aware of hidden treasure. Now, whether that's the explanation or not, we don't know, but it could happen that way. But the really important thing is, I wasn't looking for this, I found it, and in order to make it mine, I have to buy the field, and that will mean selling everything that I have. But it says, Jesus said, with joy, he did just that. He went and bought the field with the sale, the proceeds of everything that he had. Then let's read on in Matthew 13. Look at verses 45 and 46. Jesus continued, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Now, this is somebody that is an expert. He is a merchant. He knows what good pearls look like. He knows what fakes are. So he's looking for fine pearls. Who, verse 46, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And again, it's very similar to the first, with the exception, he was looking for it. He found it, and he realized, if I'm going to make this mine, I have to sell everything. Now, it does not say he sold all of his merchandise. It says he sold all that he had. In other words, it would take the sale of his home, apparently, whatever possessions he had. But now he had what he had been looking for all of his life. It was well worth the investment. The common theme of both of these parables, according to D.A. Carson in the Zondervan Study Bible, is the kingdom is worth sacrificing whatever is necessary in order to be a part of it. The kingdom is worth sacrificing whatever is necessary in order to be a part of it. That, I'm convinced, is what Jesus wants us to take away from both of those parables. Now, let's think about this a little further, and I'm going to call this part buying the best by selling the rest. Maybe you can remember that. Buying the best by selling the rest. Many who hear the gospel never see the surpassing worth of the gospel. They say, well, it's interesting. You know, it might even make my life a little better if I were to live by this or that. And yet, to say that they would sell everything, that they would sacrifice whatever the Lord wants them to sacrifice, no, they're not willing to do that. And that is a very common response to the gospel. They may say, well, this is a box full of tarnished coins. Why would I want that? But if they took the time to really look at it, they would find it's worth a fortune. Well, that's the way it is when we hear the gospel, when we hear about the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is trying to get us to see it is more valuable than anything you could imagine on earth. In Matthew 19, we are very familiar with the account of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he had a good question. What shall I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? He knew that eternal life was something really special. And so he came to the right person. And Jesus went through some of the commands of the law of Moses, and he said, well, I've done all of those. What lack I yet? And you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. That's Jesus' response to that man. He said, go sell what you have. And that's very similar to what is said in those two parables. They went and sold what they had, and then they were able to buy that which was a treasure. Well, this man was not willing to do that. It said he had a very sad expression on his face. He walked away sadly. He walked away with all of his earthly riches, but he did not have treasures in heaven. And one day he would live to regret that. He would see how foolish he was to pass up on that. Let's think about a different person that gives a very different response to that challenge to give up whatever. We're talking now about the Apostle Paul. Look with me at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 7 through 11 first, verses 7 and the first part of verse 8. And here's what Paul says about what he was called upon to give up and what he did. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, if you read the verses before that, Paul gave up a lot. He had been a Pharisee. He had been very studied under Gamaliel. He had done so much. And I have no doubt that if Paul had continued on the course that he was in, he would have become a rabbi. And rabbis in that day and time were highly esteemed and probably well taken care of. And Paul said, I could have had that. But, again, verse 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. So Paul says, I look back at my life, I see all of those things that I once had, I left them. And you know what? I don't care. They don't mean anything to me anymore. And so Paul said, I sold everything. Now, he didn't actually sell it, but essentially he did. I sold everything in order to follow Christ. Now, what did Paul get out of that? Was that a good deal that he made? Well, let's look again at Philippians chapter 3 and look at the last part of verse 8 and let's read on through verse 11. The last part of verse 8. He says, I did all of this in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings and becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So would you say that's a good deal? I would say that's a very good deal. Now, in this life, if we're only looking at this life, you'd say, well, he's a loser. He gave it up for nothing. But Paul says, I'm looking ahead. I have faith. And I believe that there is a resurrection from the dead. I believe that there is a righteousness that can be gained in Christ alone. And therefore, I give up all of that in order that I might have all of this. And again, it is a treasure. It is a treasure that cannot be found anywhere else. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. On this occasion, Jesus was asked a question by Peter and the apostles. Well, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we have? And Jesus gave an answer that applies not just to the apostles, but to anybody that gives up anything in order to follow him. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 29 and 30. Mark 10, 29 and 30. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake or for the gospel. And those are pretty significant things to leave, wouldn't you say? I mean, to leave land or houses, to say to your family, I'd rather follow Christ than have you as my family. And I personally know people that have done that. And so Jesus said, anyone who has done that, what happens? Verse 30, they will receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come. Eternal life. Now again, is it worth it? If you live by faith, you have to say, amen, it's worth it. Absolutely it is worth it. And so Jesus said, you may be called upon to do this or that. You may be called upon to sell this part of your life or to turn away and leave it behind forever. But you'll be blessed for doing it. You have found that treasure. You have found that pearl of great value. You're making the right decision. Proverbs 3, Solomon was talking about something a little different, but not really. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 15, here the idea of is wisdom, godly wisdom. A lot of people don't really care about it. They think, well, I've got the wisdom of the world. That's all I need. Solomon puts it this way in Proverbs 3, 13 through 15. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Solomon said to gain godly wisdom is the best thing possible. And isn't Jesus godly wisdom in its ultimate form? And so there we are again. We have the treasure. We have come upon it. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to go and sell all that we have? Or will we just walk away and say, well, that's too big a price to pay. I just won't have it. I hope we see through that fallacy. Now let me give a different view of these two parables. A little different view. And it comes from Chris Hurd. Some of you may remember Chris. He and his wife were members here at Central for a time. Many years ago, he was at the time a professor at Milligan University and now is a professor of theology at Pepperdine University. But at that time, he gave a lesson here at Central on these two parables. And he said, I look at it differently. I think the one who is looking for that treasure is the Lord. I think it is the Lord. And that when Jesus finds that which he's looking for, meaning you and me, he sells everything. In other words, he leaves everything in order to make that treasure his own. Now, that's debatable whether that was Jesus' primary interpretation of the parables, but I think there's a truth there that deserves a little bit more thought. And let's just look at some passages very briefly. For example, go to Luke 15. Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. Here's another parable of Jesus. And this one is clearly talking about what Chris was saying in that sermon. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, Jesus said, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now that's clearly talking about the Lord. The Lord has gone in search of that lost coin, or the lost sheep in the parable before it, or the lost son that comes right after that. And when that lost item is found, there is joy in heaven. And so could that also be what Jesus is saying here? That he stumbles upon, maybe not stumbles upon, but he's lost something, he's looking for it, and now he has found us. And in order to retrieve us, he has to sell everything. How does that work? What does Jesus sell in order to reclaim us? Well, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 has a thought on that. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, where the writer says about Jesus, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Redemption means to purchase, to buy. Jesus bought something with his own blood. And what was that? Us. He bought us with his own blood. Is there anything more that he could have given? He sold it all, if you want to use that terminology. And then also Galatians 3 verse 13 really makes the same point. Listen to how Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Christ redeemed us. There it is again. He bought us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And again, Jesus understood that if I'm going to buy these people back out of the slavery of sin, I'm going to have to sell everything. I'm going to have to go the full extent. And even though he prayed, is there another way, Father? If so, let this cup pass. Yet deep down he knew there was no other way. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. Now again, whether Jesus intended this interpretation of the parables that we're looking at tonight is debatable. But it's another way of seeing the unimaginable love of Christ for each of us. He found a hidden treasure. And for joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. And he found this pearl of great value. And he sold all in order to make that pearl his own. And I like what he says in Revelation 3, verse 18. This is Jesus talking. Jesus speaking to the church at Laodicea. He says in Revelation 3, verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. Now, I don't know many things that if I pay the price to buy it, I come out on top. I buy something much more valuable. I become rich just by buying it. In this case, that's what Jesus says. Buy from me gold refined by the fire. And I think what he's saying is, come and take my blood shed at an awful cost. And by doing so, you will be rich. But you have to sell everything in order to have it. That's the price. But what we're buying is well, well worth it. You've heard the phrase caveat emptor. It's Latin. It means let the buyer beware. There's a lot of things we can use our money for, and we buy it and we say, wow, why did I do that? I got gypped. I got nothing in return for what I paid for that item. And that's something we want to avoid always. And I want you to apply that thought to what we find in Hebrews 12, verse 16, as we close this lesson. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, where the writer is in the midst of an exhortation. He began in verse 15, saying, see to it. In other words, make sure. So verse 16, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. There's a lot of people doing that. There's probably more Christians than we think that are doing that. And for a single meal. Notice he's talking about sexual immorality or unholiness. For a single meal, they're selling their birthright. Caveat emptor. Buy that which will never come to an end. Give up whatever you must in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Here is the treasure. Here is the pearl of which there is no finer one. And it's offered to us if we want it. Do you want this treasure? If you're not a Christian tonight, it begins right there, becoming a Christian. Just like Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, the terms are still the same for us. If you believe he is the Son of God, then repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That still applies, and tonight we're ready to help you obey the gospel if you've not done that yet. And if you have done that, have you been faithful? Or have you been buying the things of the world and really not getting any value from it, and now you realize I may be forfeiting my treasure? Well, it's not too late. Tonight you could repent of that sin. Pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you. Whatever we can do to help. Come right now as we stand together and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart. Be tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
Please be seated. If you're unable to partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be observing it. We'll be observing it after this song. If anyone needs a communion, please raise your hand and Tim will bring you a communion cup and bread. We'll sing "Jesus Paid It All." Pretty appropriate with the sermon.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
If you've taken the Lord's Supper, go ahead and prepare your cups, please. And let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you with bowed heads and humbled hearts as we ask your blessings upon this bread that is represents your Son's broken body on Calvary. Father, we all do this as according to your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray for the cup. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, again we come to you, ask you to bless this cup that represents the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ for our sins. Father, may we take this cup in remembrance of you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now is also a time, convenient time to give. Let's bless the gift. Father, again, we come to you asking you to bless this gift that's given from the heart. May it always be used for your word and always promote your willingness. Father, thank you for giving us our jobs and our ways to earn money. Father, thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we've had to come together and worship you. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to come to you in prayer and ask for the forgiveness of our sins. We pray that you forgive us those sins as we forgive others that sin against us. Heavenly Father, we also want to come to you with thankful hearts for all the things you've done for us, all the things you've given us here on earth, and the promises you've secured for us in heaven. We pray that we never take this for granted and we always worship you. Our Heavenly Father, we pray also at this time that you bless the church here in Johnson City and everywhere. We pray that you be the church, that it be strengthened, that it continue in the guidelines of the Bible. And we pray for that steadfastness and wisdom and courage to uphold the truth. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with us throughout the rest of this evening and future walks of life. And in the end, if we've been found faithful, grant us a home with thee in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The only announcement I have is that if you're under 95 and you brought your swimsuit, then you can gather over the back of the parking lot back there. Y'all have a good evening.